Hi, my name is Adam Patrick. I always have a problem with sticking with my outline, so I'm going to get that little problem taken care of immediately. I'll deviate from it first. First of all, I've been a part of this church my entire life. I've been a part of the youth group since I was in seventh grade, and I will be a part of this youth group until the Lord take me or until I graduate, which I'm not sure what order that's going to happen in. I just want to say thank you to the church here. Because the youth group we have is extremely different from a lot of the people I go to school with, from my friends. The youth here is looked upon with a level of priority that I don't see in a lot of other churches. And I just want to say thank you to that, because not all the churches here and not all the people that deserve this thanks are even in this room right now. But I just want to say thank you to you. Because this is, you know, your vigor is what gives me this opportunity to be standing here right now. So, today I'm going to be talking about pride, actually. I was trying to find an applicable topic to talk about for myself. So I started thinking, okay, well, you know, this is like the fifth or sixth one I've done for Talents for Christ, and I'm kind of running out of issues to talk about now since I'm just becoming so perfect. And then it occurred to me that I should probably talk about pride then. I made that up at the podium on Talents for Christ on the day. I thought it was pretty cute, pretty inaccurate, because I know I struggle with pride. So the next thing, whenever I speak, every time I've spoken so far, I've tried to find some historical type illustration, some kind of parallel. And it's kind of hard to find one because, like, all the big people that would be looked at in history are just kind of glorified. It's like, oh, they're proud, but it's okay. So I started thinking, okay, well, let's look in, like, the Bible general area, like the Fertile Crescent, okay? That general area, there's been, like, six big empires, like Sumer, and then Babylon, and then Persia, and then Macedonia, which is Alexander the Great. That could have been a good one. And then the Romans, which could have been maybe a good one. And then after that, the Ottoman Empire, not in the Bible. So I was trying to find one that I could find good information about one of these leaders, pride. And I ended up in Daniel chapter 4, if you want to turn there now. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon is actually who I stumbled across. This is a bit of a first-hand account. It was actually kind of surprising to me. King Nebuchadnezzar, he reigned from about 605 to 562 B.C. He's attributed with the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. The guy conquered a lot of land in his time. And starting in verse 29, we'll start there. He says this, 12 months later, the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" This was pretty fateful for him. Next verse. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. And you will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will I pass you by until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." So God goes from the top, from the king of pretty much the known world at the time, probably the richest man alive, most powerful man alive, scariest man alive. If anybody had a right to be proud at this time, it was this guy. And he says these words, and he's crawling around in the ground like a dog, eating grass like a cow, and his hairs are growing, you know, his hairs growing like the feathers of an eagle. Next verse is, again, starting in verse 33. "Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird." So the guy went from the top to the bottom really, really fast. Like modern scientists have tried to think of an organic cause for this, but there's no organic cause that can make something like this happen. This was definitely God. So next I wanted to find a really good parallel for a proud person and a humble person. And I found a really good good example in Romans chapter 12, if you want to look over there. We'll be there for just a few minutes. Starting in verse 14, actually. It reads, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." So a proud person can be judged by their actions. If they're unwilling to associate with people of low position, which is right in verse 16, two illustrations that come to mind would be a poor person not willing to witness to a rich person, or help a poor person, rich person unwilling to witness to a poor person, vice versa works also. Or another illustration could be like a pastor not wanting to help move chairs after a service because he's the pastor and he's going to stand off on the side and be the pastor. That would be two good examples of that. The most common that we would see is probably conceited. In the world we have today of sports and stuff like that, this conceit and arrogance is going to be a big thing. Conceit is kind of defined up in verse 3, actually, right in the middle of it. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And I think that a lot of professional athletes, a lot of actors, a lot of celebrity-type people are having that problem a little bit. They live out of harmony with other people. They're too concerned about themselves to worry about anybody else. They're too proud to look at somebody else and go, wow, they need help, or they need my ear, they need my heart. They're not concerned about that because it's all about me when I'm proud. Okay, so you could take the exact opposite of some of these things and you could see what a humble person would look like. They would bless those who do wrong to them. It's not about them. They're not going to go, oh, wow, you just, you know, kicked the crap out of my pride, so now I'm going to not be very happy with you. No thought of themselves. I really like how verse 15 reads. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. It doesn't say rejoice if you're in a good mood and the people around you are in a good mood. That's not what it's getting at here. I can be having a low time in my life, and if the people around me are rejoicing, it's important for me to let go of what's going on with me and rejoice with the people around me. Same thing, if I'm having a high in my life and the people around me are mourning, I need to just let go of that a little bit and be concerned about somebody else, mourn with them. I really like that wording. So now we're faced with something of a problem, because we could all look at some of these characteristics of a proud person and see how they apply to ourselves. Hopefully you'll be able to do that. I can see how they apply to me in many, many, many ways. But the verses, they don't exactly say, how do I go from being proud to being humble? It's kind of a difficult thing, because the second I say, I'm going to be humble from now on, I've been proud already, just by thinking that I can do it on my own. So the only true way to become humble would be to come in contact with God. We're not going to read our Bibles and pray and come to church to be a good Christian. We're going to do all those things because we love God, because we want to find God, and that's what's going to make us humble. We're not going to go after humility, because I can't say I'm going to be humble. I can't own humility on my own. It's not going to happen. Because pride, it's a sin of the spirit. It's not a physical thing like anger. It's going to elude you if you try to kill it yourself. So back to Daniel chapter 4. Back to King Nebuchadnezzar, who's having such a lovely time right now eating grass. Verse 34 says, this is when it becomes first person. This is why this was such a cool passage. He says, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. So after the seventh time, God passes him by. He acknowledges God. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. So finally Nebuchadnezzar, after his somewhat humiliating contact with God, finally recognizes God and finally goes, wow, I'm nothing. Finally, gets a hold of this humility that would have eluded him. The last verse reads, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and all those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Good conclusion from this, if you want one. Find God or he's going to find you. Your contact with God is going to be humiliating, embarrassing. It's not going to be fun if he has to come find you. So find him first. Come in contact with God, and you will be humble. Because all who walk in pride, God will humble.